Unfortunately, it clashed with this evening. She sends her profound apologies. This meeting is an opportunity for parishioners on the electoral roll for Lavenham to raise any matters of concern to them that relate to local matters, and for the electors to receive reports from community organisations. This meeting will be recorded for the purpose of minute-taking only, and that once the minutes are approved at the next annual meeting, the recording will be destroyed. Please could everyone make sure that their phones are either turned off or are on silent. That includes me as well. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay, thank you. So, I'll introduce myself. I'm Jane Ranzetta, and I am the Deputy Chairman. I've been re-elected again, so I'd like to thank my colleagues for that. That was a great thing, actually. It's a great support as well to have everybody vote me back in. Our first task is to approve the minutes of last year's meeting. Please note that the minutes have been on the Parish Council website for a year. We need a proposer and we need a seconder to approve. Andrew? Does the proposer have to be a parish councillor?
No, the proposer can be anybody. The only comment I would make is this is always a bit odd when the minutes are a year old. But what did happen at the parish council meeting last May was whilst the parish council couldn't approve them, because it's up for these lovely people to do that, we did read them and go, yes, we are content with these.
Do we need to read them?
So they're up on the website, so it's now for someone to propose and someone to second those minutes. And they've been up on the website for a year.
Okay, so do we have a proposer? Oh my goodness, okay. Danielle and Councillor Bourne at the back. Second.
Danielle.
Twitcher.
DT, thank you DT. And Alison. So we have shall we have a vote?
No.
Do you wish to object to the minutes, Alison? No, okay.
Should we have a vote?
Should we have a vote?
Yes. All in favour of approving the minutes, could you? Yes.
Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Right. And I understand that the clerk now has a report from Councillor Robert Lindsay, County Councillor Robert Lindsay, which he will read out, and that our district councillors are here. So welcome. You're very welcome to join us today, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you all. Next to you, there's a bunch of paper. Could you sort of pass them behind you? Yes, and so that anyone who hasn't got them can have one. That's really kind, Paul.
She's not here.
Okay.
Oh yes, no, I just wondered.
No, we have to. Thank you. So, Robert, he reported that he was pleased to have been re-elected as Lavenham's County Councillor, and he looks forward to continuing to represent the village's residents for the remaining 2 years of the County Council's life. He then mentions some highlights of the year, and the first one is the footway on Melford Road, where he reports, "I was pleased to be able to help to get this long-desired pavement built to allow residents of Green Willows to walk or wheel into the rest of the village." He comments that this project was one of the first to use Baber District Council's developer levy money to pay for Suffolk County Council to build a pavement. As such, Baber needed reassurance over cost overruns and some extra funds from his locality budget to cover an investigation by British Telecom to check that their inspection hatch would not be impaired by the pavement. The next thing he talks about is Bus 51, and he says, "During the year I was delighted that my and Parish Council's combined requests and lobbying for a bus service between Hadley and Stowmarket came to fruition in April, with a 6 times a day service running every weekday." He writes that this appears to have already attracted a core of regulars and has been widely welcomed. He comments that the County Council has no serious plan for prioritising where bus investment needs to go, and so when bus investment money does become available, it's left to County Councillors and Parish Councils to lobby for the services they want. The third item he talks about is the Wattisham Airbase Sewage Sludge Processing Site. He tells us that this has been shut down. Residents and local workmen had been complaining of a stench coming from a sewage sludge processing site near the airbase, which had been causing retching. After lobbying the council's enforcement team, I'm pleased that the county council issued a full stop notice to this site earlier in the new year, and the company, a contractor to Thames Water, cleared the site and departed without appealing the notice. And then his last point is he talks about the government's plans to merge the councils and says, these plans to merge into much larger councils and install a mayor for Norfolk and Suffolk have dominated much of the council agenda during the year. And that's... it's a little bit more, isn't it? There is a little bit more. Thank you for someone's read it in advance. He also says that I'm pleased that the government has chosen what I consider the least bad option of three unitary councils rather than one, as proposed by Suffolk County Council. He says, I note that the new reform administration at the County Council is now threatening a judicial review of this decision. However, they are not clear what they think is wrong with it, and they will have to continue negotiations with the government to prepare for three unitaries in case their legal action fails. I hope, he says, that they will also work with the district councils who drew up the business case for the three unitaries that was approved. And that's that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to have reminded me there was a second page. That's Councillor Lindsay's report.
And we have Councillor Clover.
Lovely, thank you, Chair. Yeah, so I'm Paul Clover, I'm the District Councillor for Latham. And first of all, an apology, I've put in my report, because we do this for all the parishes in the ward, which there are five. I've left in Little Moonfield, and it isn't, of course, Latham. But I can assure you that all the detail in there relates to Latham and not Little Moonfield. So apologies on that one. I think I'll just come back on, following on from Councillor Lindsay's comments there. In terms of what reform are looking at judicial review on, is that was due consultation and process followed there, and they're going to be challenging that not only in Suffolk but Norfolk and Essex as well. So there's just a point of clarity there. On the and also on Green Willows, in fact, Councillor Margaret Mabry and myself were also involved in that pavement Green Willows, because the Community Infrastructure Levy award is called SIL for short, an acronym, something that rests in Baylor District Council and not Suffolk County Council. So the monies actually came from the District Council there. It's a 2-minute speech we're limited to, so I will keep it short. I'll just talk about the three main issues. As Councillor Lindsay said, yeah, they've gone for the three unitary authorities to serve Suffolk. The Secretary of State decided that this would best serve Suffolk, so there was a requirement that these unitary authorities should be of 500,000 population, and then that sort of seemed to change as the process went through, and that might be why one of the reasons reform are looking at this again. What it means for Lavenham is that Lavenham will now go into the Western Suffolk district. At the moment there is a West Suffolk district, and so to make sure that everyone understands the difference between different boundaries, it's going to be called Western Suffolk, and that will have 66 councillors there serving the whole of that area. The elections for the new unitary authority councillors will happen in May next year, and then the administration will come into full force in April 28. So that's when Baylor District Council ceases to exist, in fact. But the thing to understand about the unitary authority councillors is that they will only be dealing in that first year of being elected. They'll only be dealing with the process of implementing the new constitution. They will not be doing the day-to-day activities that the existing county and district councillors have. So that's really local government reform. In terms of call for sites, there have been, in the Baker District, 1,000 sites presented to be evaluated and whether they'd be suitable for development. What can influence the, and there will be two rounds of evaluation. So we hope to hear very soon about which sites have been selected for that first sweep. Then there'll be, and at that point, it'll go out to what they call a scoping consultation to with joint local plan to see what's involved in the joint local plan. And that will that all of these things, like the neighbourhood plan, and Lavenham's coming up with a neighbourhood plan, these will all influence where these sites can be and what the how the interests of the parish is can be best protected. So I think that, you know, and for Lavenham itself, there's really most of the corporate sites are around the south side of the village. If you go onto the Playhall's website, you'll see where these sites are. But it's a long way to go. And there'll be 2029 before the final list of sites is agreed. So there's a number of stages to go through here. And public consultation will be involved in that. With the government's stated mission to build 1.5 million new homes by the end of the term, most communities are going to be affected by the new developments. And then finally, Baber Housing. Baber District Housing Council is focusing on increasing affordable housing through its homes and housing strategy and a joint local plan aiming to meet the housing needs up to 2037. Key plans include building on council-owned land, utilising S106 developer contributions for affordable units and supporting community-led housing to address a significant increase in housing targets. And the S106 is a money that the developer is required to provide to help build infrastructure. It serves a similar function to the SIL monies, but you either have S106 or SIL. SIL doesn't exist right the way across Suffolk, so when the new LGR, the new unitary authorities come in, there's going to be a problem about those areas that have SIL funding and not those that don't. So it's all rather confused at the moment. And that's really all I'm going to say on that. The reports will be on the website, won't they?
They are on the website.
They are. So you can read our other activities in the book. And we just, the roles we fulfil here are challenging sometimes, but they're also very rewarding. So we'd just like to thank everyone that we work with. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right, now, you've done Robert Lindsay's.
So we have. So the next bit, Jane, I'm sure you're looking forward to this.
Is the chair's report.
So, yes.
Off. Don't worry, it's not all of those pages. Right, so first of all, I'd like to say welcome. Thank you for coming out on a lovely sunny evening to be with us. It's really appreciated that you're here. And I know many of you have had to sacrifice other things that perhaps you would have done this evening. So thank you very much for coming. We currently have our full complement of 11 councillors. Unfortunately, this year we lost Councillor Mary Morrie. Mary had been on council many years, serving as vice chair for 2.5 years. Mary was a diligent and caring councillor who gave good advice and kept a cool head. Her passing created a vacancy and an election was requested. Jack Norman was the only candidate to come forward, and so she was duly elected and took up her position in February. This is Jack's third term on the parish council and comes with over 20 years' experience. Jack has now been elected by her fellow councillors to be chair for the year. She thanks them for putting their faith in her and is looking forward to having a successful year in office. Some items that have been resolved from the minutes of last year. The slow progress of the installation of a footpath from Green Willows was reported. With support from Councillor Robert Lindsay, Suffolk Highways, and Baber's local cycling and walking implementation team, Baber District Community Infrastructure funds were obtained. This work has now finally been successfully completed. Unfortunately, the bid for District Community Infrastructure levy funds could not cover the installation of a street light in this area. The Parish Council voted to purchase this light for approximately £4,000. This light has now been installed and will be paid for from the Parish's Neighbourhood Community Infrastructure Funds. Continuing with the highways theme, another long-running issue is the incidence of oversized vehicles using the A1141 eastbound. A multi-agency meeting was organised by our MP, James Cartledge, last May to explore what options were available to manage this traffic. Some new signs were erected on the junction of the A134 at Bradfield Combust and on the junction at Calais Street, Hadley. We cannot stop all lorries, as some service businesses the area along the route, but we feel that there may have been a reduction in using the route as a perceived shortcut. Now the thorny issue of car parking. Baber District Council made the decision to introduce parking charges in our two largest car parks from the beginning of 2025. We continue to monitor the impact of Baber's decision during our busiest times, for example, Hidden Gardens. For this event, First Meadow was open for car parking. We had a report from Baber District Council in January that informed us that supermarket spending was down 3% and hotel and hospitality spends were down 27% and 24% respectively since the introduction on charges in the previous 9 months. We will be asking for a further report going forward, particularly as Baber have announced that it has raised £890,000 from its car parks and have now increased their charges. The imposition of parking charges has had an impact upon the finances of the parish council. Donations for use of the car parks and toilets has dropped approximately by 80%, which will cost us about £12,000 this year. We are looking at ways to reduce costs with the running of the public toilets and cutting down the number of cleans during the winter and in lower traditional footfall times, but ramping them up again during the summer season. We have also made the decision to purchase extra bin emptying to twice a week. Continuing with the traffic theme, two speed indicator devices, or SIDs, costing £8,000, were purchased by the Parish Council in 2025. These have been installed on Melford Road in such a way that they will alert motorists of their speed on entering the village and exiting. We are now considering further purchases in the next few months, particularly along the Bury Road. At last year's meeting, we advised that a motion had been passed at the Parish Council to invite members of the public to request a poll as to whether they would like a village poll regarding the possible installation of a 20-mile-an-hour scheme. And it was called, Should the Parish Council ask Suffolk County Council to implement the proposed 20-mile-an-hour scheme at a cost of £24,065.46p plus VAT at 2024 prices, and there would be an inflationary uplift to 2025-26 prices. The poll was requested by the required 10 parishioners. This was subsequently held on the 24th of June 2024. And a decisive result of the poll was returned. 350 people voted, and 78% was not to implement a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. The parish council subsequently determined not to proceed with the scheme. Now we move on to the EV, electrical vehicle chargers, in our car parks. We are proceeding to have these taken over by Suffolk and can confirm that all will be commissioned and updated as required. Water Street car park is already underway. Prentice Street car park will be completed when the legal papers have been signed by Baber District Council. I would now like to turn to planning matters. Late last year and earlier this year, Baber District Council announced a call for sites. This was for landowners to express that they are willing for their sites to be considered for future development of housing and businesses. This produced some consternation amongst local residents. Baber is compelled to produce something called a joint local plan, which will be in place until 2045. The call for sites is part of that and does not mean that all sites submitted by landowners will be used. A rigorous process of suitability will be undertaken before moving forward to consideration. Lavenham, alongside this, are working on a revised neighbourhood plan. Three parish councillors, Michael Sherman, Alison Bourne and Jack Norman, and some volunteers from the village have been working on the revised neighbourhood plan after the defeat of the previous proposal. A questionnaire went out to the village in March and two open days were held. To date, we have had 644 responses out of a possible 1,150 residences. This is well over the 50% desired. The committee is currently working through the responses and will report in due course. Having a neighbourhood plan gives us as a village a say in what is built, design and infrastructure. We cannot stop development, but we can have a say in how it is handled. Decisions, however, on the Joint Local Plan, JLP, are not governed by the Parish Council. I would also like to share with you the work done by the Parish Council concerning individual planning applications. Now, this is the table.
This table is it's in the documents that most people have got.
So, and there are some spares. If you haven't got some, there's some on the front seat here.
Yes.
You need to read through it.
You can just begin with there. We had 47.
They're having a look at it. Okay, so we had 47 planning applications. 37 times our recommendations were accepted by Baber District Council. 5 times the PC, Parish Council, did not make comment as the applications were very specialist, 4 of which were approved by Baber and 1 withdrawn. 5 times Baber approved applications against recommendation to refuse. Of the 5 times Baber approved applications against recommendations to refuse, one of the applications was where we recommended refusal due to the absence of a replacement tree. Baber passed this application with the condition that a replacement tree was provided. One was approved on the submission of further documents by the applicant to Baber District Council, which eliminated our reason for refusal. 2 were for the felling of trees, which we recommended refusal, but Baber District Council approved. The final one was the building of an extension, but the design was within Baber's planning policy, so was passed by them. I think the planning group on the council should be commended. I should also like to share with you progress concerning other matters. After a rigorous tender process, in April 2025, we renewed our street cleaning and green maintenance contract. This contract includes an increased focus on weed and moss removal from our streets. Weeds and moss are issues which have previously caused public concern. We had to undertake some emergency tree works this year. We were advised that some of the trees in the public realm were becoming a cause for concern. Works have taken place in cutting back and removal of some of the trees, and we will now be holding regular inspections. We very kindly received grants from Councillor Mabry and Councillor Clover from their locality budget to support some of this work. A number of sewage issues arose in the Prentice Street car park in 2024-25. The Parish Council paid for repairs to the sewer pipe in spring 2025, and I'm pleased to report that there have been no further problems in the last 12 months. The Council was pleased to be able to make a grant of £1,500 to the new Light Up Lavenham Committee. A small version of the Christmas fair was held in December and was so successful the committee was able to reimburse the Parish Council the full amount. We thank them wholeheartedly and look forward to hearing from them in the future. We would also like to give personal thanks to Mr. Matt Nicol, who we are sure does far more in the setting up of the council lights than we get billed for. The whole job is quite an undertaking. Lavenham Allotments Grant. The Parish Council has agreed in principle to a grant of £2,500 towards the community allotments. Formal agreement has been given to the access across the railway walk for vehicles delivering to the new site. I take this opportunity to thank the allotments group for the work they have done organising their association and preparing themselves. The legal arrangements will take time to finalise, but I'm excited that progress is being made. We will update on the progress of the Lavenham Community Allotments accordingly. I would like to express my thanks to all the volunteers who have worked together to make the village more presentable and a better place to live and visit. I would especially like to thank the many residents who quietly volunteer without any public recognition, for example, litter picking while out walking, maintaining our defibrillators, those who maintain floral displays outside their properties, and those who help other organisations and the transporting of furniture and erecting marquees for events in the village. All of these actions enhance the environment in which we live and work. The Clerk and Councillor Muckian have spent much time working on queries from members of the public this year, and we would like to thank them for their hard work and diligence. It is a difficult undertaking keeping all the wheels moving in the office of the Parish Council. Jack and I would like to thank Janice personally for her hard work and hope we can facilitate her a well-earned rest. I would like to thank all councillors for their contribution in the last year and hope moving forward we can grow together for the good of the parish. We are truly privileged to live in such a wonderful place, and it is our duty as custodians of the village to make sure it runs for the benefit of everyone.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you. So it then falls to me to talk about the finances of the Parish Council. I'm very well aware that full statements of income and expenditure, and also of receipts and payments, have been tabled and discussed at each parish council meeting this year, and so I won't report the full detail. But for those who don't follow the finances of the council, my big message is that financially, this year 25-26 was a really difficult one for the parish council. And that's really because this council has been squeezed by two decisions made by Baber. The first, and we've talked about it a little, was the decision to implement car parking charges from January 2025. So this meant that we could only collect donations for using the toilets. And their second decision was the decision to reduce by 50% and then within 2 years completely remove the cleaning grant, which we've traditionally received from Baber. Together, these decisions have reduced our income by £20,000 every single year. Councillors have, been very aware of the cost of living pressures felt by many and have not passed that 20,000 shock plus annual increases for general inflation onto council taxpayers. The annual, so if the council had just passed it on, there would have been £20,000 for the reduction in BABA money and possibly £10,000 or so on the council tax in total for the general inflation increases. In fact, the increase in council tax has been about half of that. And I would comment that the abolition of the county and district councils, i.e. the shift to unitaries, is really unlikely to alleviate these pressures. Because in future, support for parish councils and really local initiatives will, in unitary councils, compete for funding with things like special education needs, adult care and pothole repair, in a way that it didn't in district councils because they weren't responsible for any of those activities. And what we can actually see is across the nation, parish councils are stepping into the gaps left by district and county councils. There's a history here that many of you will recall, that even before these decisions, there was the closure of the Tourist Information Centre and the transfer of the then really dilapidated public toilets to the parish council. A more detailed message concerning the accounts for the year just finished is, and this is where the chart of accounts in the little bundle helps. And so I'm going to be talking about the things that are coloured in the in that little chart thing. So the first thing is that donations to us for the use of car parks and toilets in 2025-6 were over £8,000 less than the previous year. This was only partially offset by the 1st of April 2026 2.8% increase in council tax revenue, which gave us about £3,000. But indeed, that wasn't an increase faced by the average household. We got more money because BABA made the decision that second homeowners would get charged double. But in 25-26, our donation, our council's income fell by £5,000, being those two factors. Things were also really difficult on the cost side. Our council's costs increased by some £26,000. And there were four really reasons for it. The first was we spent £7,000 or so answering very detailed subject access requests raised by members of the public. The second was the cost of green maintenance and street cleansing increased by £8,000. And here the story is actually kind of quite interesting. We'd benefited from a three-year fixed price contract which expired in March 2025. And that three-year fixed price contract contained no annual increases whatsoever. It was completely fixed. But of course, in that period, the government massively increased the minimum wage. So the contractor was probably rather caught out by that, but we had a contract. But inevitably, on renewal, the cost of buying these services really increased. We put the contract out to full tender. We reviewed its scope, and as you heard, actually expanded it in some ways, but the increases in minimum wage and scope increased the cost, annual cost of that contract by 30%. The third reason was the tree work, the expensive safety work, maintaining in some cases felling trees in the cemetery and First Meadow. That cost us £7,000. And then we benefited in two ways from, and they were that we spent £2,000 less on community grants and £1,000 less on Christmas than we would have done, but that was entirely because the Lavenham Christmas Fair or Christmas Committee, we gave them a grant and they were able to refund it, which was truly amazing. And actually, they provided the tree that was in the marketplace, so their efforts really helped the parish council that way. And so, what I would conclude is saying that we made a deficit in the year of some £4,000. As compared to a surplus in the previous year of £27,000. And I'm pleased to be able to tell you that my numbers bit is very nearly come to an end. The council has budgeted this year to make a loss of nearly £15,000, meaning that our reserves will be at the bottom of the 6 to 9 month range recommended by the relevant bodies. And the last piece of news that I need to tell you is that this council has about £52,000 of community infrastructure levy funding. That's what we have. This and that. What will that be used for is the obvious question. And it will be used primarily to ensure that the neighbourhood plan team have the resources they need to prepare the plan and as was referred to in the chair's report, argue the village's case in the context of the government's housing target and the requirement of Baber to rewrite its local plan to be in line with the government's housing target. So I think it would be fair to say the Neighbourhood Plan Group sees its sort of role there in two ways. A, it's about, yes, writing a neighbourhood plan that's consistent with all these things that it must be. But also, I think, it's actually about influencing, arguing, so that the joint local plan, when it comes out, actually is with respect to Lavenham as well thought out as we can make it be.
Absolutely.
I think that's
definitely
really what they're trying to say.
Definitely.
The remainder will be used for new capital projects, which are designed to actually leave something in the village that, bring something to the village and make the village a better place to be. And councillors will shortly determine what those are going to be. And then my last bit, which is not money. So this evening we will hear many people will stand up and give their reports before we open the whole thing up for general discussion, for asking the vice chair difficult questions perhaps. But I've got a list of who's definitely told me they're going to speak, and I'll ask whether there are more. But I'm going to read out the three reports, first of all, that have been submitted to me from people who weren't able to attend tonight. And the first is from the Hub. And so the chair of the Hub has written to me, written to us all, rather, to say, we're happy to report that the Trust ended its year in a stronger financial position than previous years. The generosity of residents supporting us, either by making a donation or joining the Easy Fundraising project, continues to be appreciated. These funds have given us a reasonable financial start. There were amazing fundraising efforts during the year, which included the Hidden Gardens Group, the Robin Project masterminded by Jeremy, and the walking tours devised and run by Michael, a Hub volunteer, with his friends Malcolm and David. The Hub is an important facility for the village, not only welcoming visitors, but also more essentially providing space for the outreach post office. To ensure that the service continues, we need more volunteers to join our friendly and enthusiastic team. And she asks that people pop in and speak to them for more information. She concludes by saying, we're pleased to announce that from the 1st of June 2026, Tracy Brinkley will become chair of the Trust. Membership of the Trust is open to all members of the community, and application forms are available at the Hub at 2 Lady Street. And she concludes with a very tidy, rather good sentence that says, our message to everyone is, use it, support it, or lose it. And that's the message from the current chair of the Hub. The next one is from the Carpet Bowls Club, who would like to remind everybody they meet at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon and 7 o'clock on Thursday evenings, and they really welcome new members to come along and try carpet bowls. All equipment is provided, as well as instruction and tips as to how to be any good at it. And she comments that the first two sessions are free to try carpet bowls and learn how to do it. And then the last one is from the from David Jones, the chair of the Lavenham Woodland Project. And he writes that he'd like to begin by thanking all the volunteers and trustees who contribute over 400 hours a year of their precious time. He says, whatever the weather, they help us care for our 1,400 trees, 600 metres of hedging and 2,000 metres of footpaths. A major task this year has been spreading 15 tonnes of wood chippings on many of our footpaths. Before Easter, we installed our shelter, which was partly funded by the parish council. In June, we had a visit from a judge from the Green Flag Award Scheme, and we met the criteria standards in all areas of the evaluation. His summary said, Dye House Fieldwood is a community-managed site. It's well-managed and a valuable resource for the local community. And there were only two Green Flag Community Awards in Suffolk this year. We had a community event in July to celebrate it's 21 years since we planted our hawthorn hedges, and over 150 people aged between 2 months and over 90 came and enjoyed a range of activities and demonstrations. And on the day they held a grand draw, which raised over £2,000 with all the prizes generously donated by businesses and folk in Lavenham. In August, we installed some special bat bricks bought from the Bulmer Brickworks in our World War II pillbox. Our ecologist noted that 16, and I might have to say this wrongly, I don't know whether they're Dorbenton or Dobayton or Dalbenton bats, I know not. Does anyone know, please, what, Frank, you're big on bats, which, how should I say, these bats, Dalbenton, Dorbenton? You have no idea either. Yeah, and hibernated in the bricks. In September, we're very pleased that the Lavenham Primary School was again able to visit our forest school area, and the children engaged and hopefully enjoyed a variety of outdoor sessions in the woodland over a six-week period. The school leader who led the activities was very sad to learn that about 50% of the children had little or no experience of outdoor activities. And then he concludes by saying, finally, can I make a plea for more people to come along on the second Sunday of every month to help us maintain Dye House Field Wood for everybody to enjoy. So I think I now hand back to you, Chair, partly because they're going to be bored of hearing my voice. So, would you mind starting
And I can be quiet? I'm advised that here tonight to tell everyone what has been going on and what is planned are, firstly, the Reverend Simon Pitcher, welcome. And then we have the Good Neighbours and Dementia Alliance, the Lavenham Community Land Trust, the Lavenham Community Allotments Association, Sandra and Janet from the Gardening Club, and the Riverside Allotments Association.
Does
anybody else want to do a report?
Lavenham Preschool.
The preschool?
Yes.
Is there anyone else who wants to? No, I think that looks like it, doesn't
Lovely.
It?
Okay.
I'll hand back to you.
Okay, so Reverend Simon, over to you.
Before 2025 saw our T500 celebrations of the 500th anniversary of the tower. That all went very well. Some of you may have been to one or two of the things that we did, but we kind of were trying to encourage the whole community to realise that the church is there for everybody. So we were very pleased with the outcome of that. We made a little bit of a profit, which was nice. But those celebrations clouded the reality that our regular visitor numbers and spend dipped, we think, because of the car parking charges. So we had fewer visitors with that. So then we had a grant from Baybrook, courtesy of Margaret Maybury, to refurbish our children's corner. The idea was to provide a safe, free place for children to play. And we've been delighted that almost every day of the week since mothers and children spent time just enjoying being in the church, praying and having a good time. So that's been really good. And the final thing is, you might have just noticed that the scaffolding has finally disappeared from the church. We've spent £150,000 repairing the fabric of the church, mostly funded by the people who come to the church, but with some grants. And I'm going to finish on a political point. Until very recently, we were able to reclaim the VAT. Rachel Reeves capped the scheme and then abolished it, leaving us with a £17,000 hole in our finances, and that therefore is a serious issue going forward, not just for our church, but for every listed church. Simply the extra costs will make it very difficult for our churches to be maintained. And Norfolk and Suffolk have the highest concentration of Grade 1 listed medieval buildings in the world, and I just don't think they get it. So I make that point, and if anything can be done to persuade her that she made a mistake, then that would be it. Thank you,
and I'd also like to thank you for all the other things that you do with your church. You've always got so many organisations and activities for children and things happening in the school holidays for the children, and also I believe the cookery club for the gentlemen. So lots and lots of different things happening, which is, I think, having been here for over 35 years, has really helped to unite people in the village, not just those who perhaps are regular attenders at your services, but those who perhaps wouldn't otherwise have gone into the church but feel attracted to go in to some of the concerts, to some of the other activities. So thank you very much. It's really appreciated. Right.
Any questions?
Oh, any questions? Any questions anybody would like to ask? Quiet. Okay, thank you. The Good Neighbours and Dementia Alliance. So Doreen, over to you.
The Good Neighbour Scheme and the Dementia Alliance are both still working very well. The Good Neighbour Scheme has had 3 new drivers this year. This is a great addition to us because it adds to the days and times volunteers are able to do. Now having a tally of 15 drivers in all is a great improvement on last year. We have had new parking arrangements at the West Suffolk Hospital this year. It seems to work well as they have the vehicle registrations of our drivers and they are able to park free by automatic recognition. We are still kept very busy, mainly with doctors and hospital appointments. We have had some generous donations this year from the Laddham Society, Jeremy Reed from the sale of his robins, another received from Steve Richards from the sale of goods. We also had a grant from the Suffolk Community Foundation's Pardew to Trust grant-making programme. The Jubilee Room is still used by various other organisations in the village, which is very good to have it kept in use. The Good Neighbour Scheme and the Dementia Alliance have combined their afternoon teas and coffee mornings that we provide for our older residents. They are supported very well and are mostly always full to capacity. We have a very full agenda throughout the year. All this helps our older generation with socialising and reducing isolation, as many live alone. And I'll give you some more about that from the Dementia Alliance report here. The Dementia Alliance is always available to those caring for or living with dementia and always help or signpost to contacts that we have available. We welcome them to our coffee mornings and afternoon teas. We have also had very generous donations for the Dementia Alliance from Justin Smith, Steve Richards, Jeremy Reed and the Laddham Society. Since last May, including with the Good Neighbour Scheme, we have had 2 garden centre trips to Mark's Tay. They are very popular with them all as meals can be purchased there. A trip to Felixstowe and another to Rough and Blackthorpe Barns at Christmas. Talks from beekeeping to home safety, wood turning, quiz, film, bingo, fish and chip lunches and of course their Christmas lunch at the Cock Horse. All this is provided for by the Dementia Alliance together with the Good Neighbour Scheme for all to enjoy. Those living with dementia who come along are always happy to be included. Our clientele are ever changing, some we have for some time and others only for a while. Also recently we have heard from Tina Price at Kingsley Home Care and she is now coming out with her team to speak at the next coffee morning. So we continue to do well in all that we do for those caring for and living with dementia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doreen. That's fantastic. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions? No, I'd just like to ask you, Doreen, if somebody was, say, new to the village and they had dementia, or a neighbour knew that they had dementia, could they just refer that to you or one of your team and encourage people to come along?
We have referrals from people that live in the village a lot of the time. Yes.
Right, and so would that mean that one of your team would perhaps pop in and say...
We normally signpost them because we aren't really accredited to do that.
Right.
We've been trained on certain things, but it just depends how things are. But yeah, we always try and make people feel comfortable and welcome.
Oh, absolutely. So if they had neighbours or family members, perhaps, who didn't know about Dementia Alliance, they could just come along and have a chat with you all and everything. Thank you. And thank you for all your hard work. Thank you. Yes, that's lovely.
Amazing.
Yes,
it's amazing, isn't it?
It is fantastic. It's such an important part of our society, especially as we know that I think 1 in 3 people now will develop dementia at some time in their lives, which is a sobering thought, but wonderful that we have such supportive people around to help. Thank you. Okay, so now we have the Lavenham Community Land Trust.
That's me.
And would you like to introduce yourself, Tracy?
The Community Land Trust's aims are to provide and manage well-designed, high-quality and energy-efficient affordable homes and to provide other community assets to build employment, skills and to help our community remain sustainable. You may ask what a community land trust is. Many people find it difficult to find homes because of lack of affordable housing. The main reasons, particularly for Lavenham, are the high house prices combined with comparatively low wages, which makes it hard for people to stay in the village, even though they may have grown up here and have a strong local connection. A community land trust is a non-profit, community-led organisation that develops and stewards affordable housing and other assets that meet the needs of the community. They are run by ordinary people who may want to make a difference to their local community, putting control of the assets into the hands of local people. What are the benefits? Well, as a not-for-profit organisation, all income generated at the CLT is put back into the community through further housing or other assets. They ensure that their homes are permanently and genuinely affordable, not just for now, but for every future occupier. As you may know, the Lavenham CLT owns and runs the Peak Close development on the Belford Road, and we continue to look for new sites and are, you know, feeling the pressure really to try and find additional sites to keep that meet that ongoing need for local housing. So anyone who might be able to help, please let us know. That's for me, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Tracy? No? Okay, thank you. So now we have the Lavenham Community Allotments Association.
The Lavenham Community Allotment Association was formed within the last year, so this is the first AGM that we've ever attended. As many of you are aware, we are a local group set up to help run Pallets Allotment proposed near the railway walk. We've spent the past year setting up the association, which has included agreeing on the constitution, assigning roles, and setting up the bank account. Once these had been set up, we concentrated on meeting the developer and the PC to discuss what the arrangements were required from all aspects. We then worked hard over the winter months to create all the necessary documentation, policies, procedures on which we were rule-based running the site. We have been gifted money from the Lavenham Hidden Gardens 2025, and the PC have approved, in principle, £2,500 towards the setup of the initial running costs. We hope to apply for available grants once the legal documents have been completed. The PC has agreed to take on the lease of the land allocated to the allotments, the developer, and the association to manage on the site of their behalf. The PC is arranging for the lease to be drawn up by the solicitors so the land can be passed on to passed on from the developer. Once this has been signed off by all parties and all the relevant documents have been agreed and in place, we will be able to start getting the plots ready and inviting local residents to apply for plots. We are hopeful that this will be done before the end of the summer season. Fingers crossed.
Thank you. Are there any questions that anybody would like to ask Francesca? I'd like to ask you, just a thought, is there any sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, is there any ideas that that might do have something to do with the primary school? Do they do anything about growing plants?
Well, you would like to write them down, but obviously once we've got them actually set and in writing, then we can start doing lots of community. You know, we were doing like preschool or primary school. And we're quite lucky with Mr. Jones, obviously being so close to him, we can sort of help with the medical class. We'd like to work well with our neighbours.
I think it would be brilliant, yeah. Especially as somebody was saying earlier, how many young children, you know, are not aware.
I was surprised at that.
Yeah, I was really surprised, yeah. Especially as we are more or less a countryside community. And I know some primary schools, even those in big cities, are now having areas where the children have a gardening area where they learn to grow plants, they might have some chickens or whatever. And it's so rewarding, it really is. It gets them away from, you know, constant being in front of a screen all the time. So thank you. And thank you very much for all the work that you're putting into this. It's really worthwhile. Okay, so we now have Sandra and Janet from the Gardening Club.
Firstly, thank you for inviting us this evening. Lavender Garden Club continues to thrive with around 70 members at the moment. We hold our meetings in the Village Hall on the last Wednesday evening in the month. Our invited speakers talk on numerous garden topics, and every year we try to invite a celebrity speaker. And in October, we will welcome back Adam Frost. Non-members are always welcome to our meetings, and for Adam Frost, hopefully very soon we'll start to sell some tickets. We hold an annual plant sale in May in the marketplace, which this year was a great success, helped by the weather. The club holds a summer garden party in July for our members, the venue normally Little Hall Gardens. In September, we hold our garden celebration show. We hold an annual quiz in November against Thorpe Maru Gardening Club, and that's always an enjoyable evening. In January, we hold our New Year party, which is always well attended by our members. We arrange coach trips for members throughout the year to gardens in the area and beyond, with a visit coming up on 17th of June to Nick Hamilton's Barnsdale Gardens. The club continues to donate and support Lavender Preschool to help with projects. Please visit our website, lavendergardeningclub.co.uk, to look at the club activities and contact details should you wish to become a member or come along to any of our meetings. I will now hand over to Janet, who will talk about the work we do at the Village Hall Garden. Thank you.
Yes, just very briefly, I don't know if you know, but since the hall was built, the gardening club has maintained the Village Hall Garden. I organised a rota for people to come along, and it's simply volunteers in the gardening club who maintain the garden. You'll see us one Wednesday every month. If you come up here in the morning, we'll be at their garden. Over the last year, we've had to recreate the garden. We had to take out a lot of the plants and we've had to replant it. We are somewhat restricted because of, like any gardener, it's very hot and very dry at the front of the Village Hall Garden. And if you look at the plants that we have there, that reflects it. They're very much Mediterranean plants. All the costs for everything that goes into the garden, that's all funded by the Lavender Gardening Club. Just from the things like the profits from any profits we make from the plant sale that Sandra mentioned, and we use part of that to buy the plants that grow in there. So we hope that it enhances the Village Hall, and it's certainly an enjoyable voluntary thing that our members do, quite a social event.
Thank you. And I'd like to say, actually, last year I went to Chelsea Flower Show with some friends, and if you've ever been, it is the most extraordinary experience, and there are, well, I won't say millions, but there are thousands of people there. And there was one particular place we'd gone into, one of these side areas. It wasn't a garden, it was one of these sort of stalls. And I was chatting to somebody, and then the person in the stall said, so where have you come from? I said, oh, we've come from Suffolk. And they said, oh, whereabouts? I said, oh, a little place called Lavenham. And one of the celebrity gardeners who'd been there, not Monty Don, it was a lady, turned around and went, oh, Lavenham Gardens. Oh, Lavenham Gardening Society is one of the best I've ever been to. And we just went, oh, thank you. She said, oh, fantastic. I'm coming to talk to them soon. So we were very impressed.
Was that last year?
I didn't go this year. That's it, yes. And she then started chatting and waxing lyrical about Lavenham Gardens. So you have very high profile, ladies. Well done, and fantastic. Roy.
Sorry, just can we say on behalf of the priest? Thank you very much for the contributions that
we're trying to stick to the
aids and enhances the building that we have.
And now I was going to say the next. Oh, is that a question, Frank?
It's a question.
It's a question. Okay.
I'm Frank Domini. I'm the Lavenham Hornet Warden, and my job is to help with identification of this invasive species which is attacking our bee population, and I would love to come along and tell you about Tropilelaps, which is a parasite which is coming in from Ukraine and is advancing further westward. It scares the living daylights out of me, the damage that can be done to our bee and pollinator populations, and we are seeking other people to learn how to identify these pests, because in an agricultural area like this, if the things take hold, then you can lose 30% of bee populations.
I'd also like to commend Councillor Dominy here. He's always been very concerned about this. Again, at Chelsea Flower Show last year in the Grand Arena, there was a very large stand with many, many people who were talking about these things with pictures and videos, trying to raise awareness with gardeners to say it's a very, very serious threat to our agriculture and our flowers. So thank you, Councillor Dominy, for raising that issue.
Can I just take down the telephone number, please?
And the community council hasn't either.
And then finally we have the Riverside Allotments Association.
I'm Frank Dominy, I'm the chairman of the Riverside Allotments Association. This is more of a public service announcement than anything else. We've all read in the newspaper and seen on TV a shooting war and blockade that has started in the Persian Gulf and the ongoing one in Novorossiya. This will have a direct impact on Lavenham and Bayburn by raising the cost and availability of oil, fertiliser and carbon dioxide. UK farmers are deciding it's no longer economic to sow crops and are leaving their fields to lie fallow. As a consequence, Riverside Allotments have increased the speed of construction and rollout of our phase two beds, which is 21 to 40, and fences. We are deciding what to do with the land earmarked for phase three, which is 41 to 80. We have obtained a rotavator to open up soil for planting and sowing. I'm adding to the diversity of the ecosystem by siting an apiary to pollinate crops and composting tons of horse manure. I wish to thank the Environment Agency and Chris and Pippa at the poultry farm for their flood mitigation work that allows us to operate all the year round in a flood risk area. I'm planting any unoccupied beds that we have with beans, tomatoes and fruit fishes to cover the surfaces, and I water the beds daily. I plant winter harvested crops to ensure we have food for winter and January. And I will liaise with Bayburn and Suffolk County Council advisors what crops to grow. No family in Lavenham should suffer hunger this year or next year. I'm encouraging our plot holders to overproduce from their beds. And we have agreed to share any surplus produce with food banks and soup kitchens and other plot holders, their friends and neighbours in Lavenham and Bayburn have taken their fill as part of Bayburn's Sustainable Communities Food Programme. We're considering establishing a plant it, grow it, cook it and eat it programme because domestic science is no longer taught in schools. As there are people in Lavenham who will suffer from food scarcity and food price inflation, we will not only provide food, but also the means to cook it. So I'm donating, I'm going to talk to the Imam, Father Anthony in Sudbury and Reverend Pitcher, about donating two slow cookers that they can pass on to people who need to be able to cook the food. free food that we give away. Good news is I'm nearly finished. We'll hold the barbecue mark the end of phase two rollout.
Thank you very much. Right, I was just thinking, Councillor Clover, am I dreaming? Didn't we say last year, was it you or perhaps it was Councillor Lindsay, that he did have at some point some slow cookers that were looking... It was you. Could you... Is that a scheme still happening?
Yeah, well, it's not on at the moment, but it's the Rural Coffee Caravan. So we were able to, working, just really using their donations, whoever wanted, they came in two sizes, and whoever wanted one could have one. So that information was shared within the five parishes of the Lapland ward. And the uptake, I have to say, was quite good. Mm. And of course, in I think there's a van here, isn't there, Frank, that the comes round and has fruit to donate. Is that right in the Cocking car park? I've met someone here that comes around sometimes with, whether it's still going on or not, I don't know. But it does prompt the idea that where I'm going with it is that in Great Wallingfield they have a food pantry, and it might be something that Latin.
So it could be a combination between Reverend Simon and our two wonderful allotments associations. Yeah. I was actually going to say, it's fantastic that we've got this opportunity for so many people to be able to use one or perhaps even both allotment areas within the village, because obviously as our population expands, it's nice that some people at a certain part of the village can say, well, we can go here and others can go down here, and they can combine. This is fantastic. I think we're very, very privileged to have so many allotments and the possibilities for your expertise as well, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to, if somebody comes along and says, well, I've lived here and I've lived in a flat or I've never had any chance to grow anything, I don't know anything, and there, you know, obviously this great enthusiasm from you to be able to say, well, we can help you and we'll show you what to do, and we've got two sites for allotments. So I think we're extremely lucky, don't you, Clark?
I do.
So
I
thank
really
you
do.
Very much indeed. Yes.
The thing about going forward is that the food is nutritional, it's fresh, and with slow cookers, it's a very little, uses very little electricity as well. So there's big wins to be had.
Yes, I think it's a fantastic idea. Now, we have... just remind me to say...
Yes, sorry, that's me.
I've forgotten your name, sorry.
I brought some visual aids, if someone would like to see the progress of our latest development. So I'm going to leave them here, someone who please have a look. And also
shall I carry them to the front? Heather, would you like me to carry them and hold them so people can see them? Yes, I don't like doing that.
If you would mind, that would be lovely, thank you. So, my name is Stella, I'm a preschool manager since August 2021. So our preschool is a small charity-run organisation focusing on delivering an exceptional care and learning environment for all the youngest citizens of Lavenham and nearby villages. In the recent years, following the increasing demand, we have grown and extended the services we are offering to satisfy the needs of the local families. Since August 2021, we have introduced everyday breakfast and afternoon club and extended opening hours from 9 to 3 to 8 to 5, introduced 3 weeks of holiday club during the summer for children aged 3 to 10. We lowered the age of the children accepted to our preschool to 20 months. We strengthened the relationship with the local schools and the local community as well. We introduced weekly trips to the library. We introduced the climate action plan to teach children about recycling, composting, planting and care for environment and living creatures from very early years. In 2024, we won Child Care Services Award. We also introduced additional classes to the children at no extra cost to the parents, like ballet classes, sport classes, and visits from therapy dog. We are making big investments in our staff and their professional development, and are implementing the government-focused programs like Math Champion and Talking Booth
to increase children's knowledge and help them at the very early stage of their development. We will start a new academic year in September 2026, fully booked, which is a big accomplishment, with the waiting list for September 2027. So if anyone is planning to sign up their children, the time is now. With the help from local organizations like Lavenham Parish Council, Lavenham Community Council, Lavenham Gardening Club, Lavenham Woodland Project, the councillor Robert Lindsay, and local co, we successfully introduced and then significantly extended our forest school site located behind the village hall. This was one of our biggest investment and project, which we successfully completed in the recent years. Emma, who is our forest school leader, is continuously improving the site to give children the best learning experience. So since the forest school's area has been open, now children have a chance to enjoy the zip line, the use of age-appropriate swings and hammocks, racing down the slides, as well as observing the tadpoles changing into frogs in our little pond. And under the close supervision, children are also learning how to use tools, simple tools like palm drills, hammers, and small saws as well. This spring, our bud garden, which is immediately attached to the preschool, had a complete uplift and well-deserved refurbishment. The whole area now has a new AstroTurf and a new bike road with zebra crossing on it. We installed a new mud kitchen and a new water butt to ensure that children have access to water from the village hall. And we planted a variety of different herbs and plants for children to use when they're preparing their soups and potions in the mud kitchen. We are currently working on installing the new sandpit and preparing all the bikes which we have in our storage to give children even more opportunities to practice their gross motor skills. As a charity setting, we rely on fundraising and support from local community in completing such big project. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the organization who have supported us financially in the past years, like Lavenham Parish Council and Lavenham Gardening Club. We really appreciate your support and are hoping for your partnership and support in our next exciting developments. As the preschool building reaches almost 10 years this next year, there are now visible signs of wear, and in the next years we will be focusing on maintenance works. So we can continue delivering an exceptional learning opportunities in a healthy and inclusive environment to all our children. We're also looking for new trustees to join our group. So if there's anyone who can spare some time to help us shape little people's future and ensure their every year's success, please do not be shy and contact us. I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone once again and wish everyone a lovely evening.
Thank you very much. Has anybody got any questions? No, I was just thinking, this is such a great answer, isn't it? When we have children in the primary school who are very unfamiliar with the sort of countryside and things, and you're already tackling this situation in the preschool, so that as they go up into the, you know, into the primary school and beyond, it's promoting further knowledge. So thank you. Frank?
May I gift you a yellow-legged hornet in aspic? So that your children can
recognise it. How wonderful. Right, ladies and gentlemen, so we're now on to the final part of our evening. I know there are many, many organisations who sadly couldn't be represented this evening for a variety of reasons, and if you want to know more about the various organisations that we have and clubs in our lovely village, obviously the newsletter, the parish newsletter, has got, I think, a list and phone number of all of them. So many.
So does our website.
And so does our website, absolutely. So finally here, we have an invitation to all of you, the public, to raise any matters of interest that you would like us to consider this evening very briefly.
I have to go on, unfortunately, Chair, but I'd just like to qualify two little things just for everyone's information. on local government reform, and you've probably read a lot about local government reform, but from Bayer's point of view, their estimate that with the new unitary authority, which they have to bear the cost of in the main, it's going to take them 4 years to break even. But then if you Google this, you'll find all sorts of statements saying that do unitary authorities really make any money whatsoever? Do they save money? And this is a big debate. So that's on LGR, local government reform. And then in terms of the call for sites and Loudoun's neighbourhood plan, part of the problem is that this joint local plan takes a lot, many years to actually evolve, and the problem with the committee will have is that they can only react to the actual rules that are in position as it stands at the moment, but then there may be something down the line that contradicts it. So it is a big issue. And then you've got, of course, when the unitary authorities come in and you've got different boundaries, that may change things again as well. So it's very difficult. Anyway, but thank you
very much, and thank you for coming this evening. It's really appreciated, and I'm sure you've got to whiz off to another meeting now as well. So, Councillor Dominic.
Just a quick one. I'm working on a set of what I call prepper pages to supplement government advice to prepare for civil emergencies, just in case we have a major power outage like is happening in Ukraine, if we manage to upset the Russians quite enough. The second thing is I am trying to re-establish the activities of the first responders and build a increased first aid training so that people know what to do if they fall downstairs and hurt themselves and things like that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I was going to say, because I know years ago we did have several people who were trained as first responders, and over the years they've either retired or moved away. So that's a very
point of information there. The leader of the first responder is actually operating out of Ipswich, yes, and I have been in touch with her.
Thank you very much, Frank. That's really helpful. Any other? Yes?
Just very briefly, because I'm sure everybody wants to go, but obviously a bit unfortunate some of the other community groups have gone, but I know with the number of the groups that I've now got involved with, that nearly every single one, as has been mentioned, struggles with getting enough volunteers and trustees and people into their organisations to support them. And I just wondered whether the parish council either would perhaps take a lead or support whoever to perhaps, I mean, it's just ideas of having, say, an event in the village hall or something like that for all of the groups to kind of have a stall, a bit of a showcase. This is what we do, but to really try to get more people to come forward to volunteer.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Actually, a bit like a careers fair, yeah, you know, when you're a student and you have different really schools and different universities and things.
Scare people, but just to make them realise, yeah, that if they don't come forward and help to fill some,
absolutely,
roles, there is a risk of some of those things falling by the wayside.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good idea.
Whether it's something that, you know, parish councils. Something we can look into, perhaps, Carl.
It's a really interesting idea, or another one, you know, that either in the marketplace or next to one of the major shops, that basically could be a rota, you know, where a different group is there each week, you know.
Yeah, I think so. And there could be, perhaps the Village Hall Committee could be quite involved in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, the church.
Yeah, everybody's just saying, do you know what, you've just moved into the village, we do this, why don't you come and meet us? I think it's a really good idea. I think that's a very good idea.
And we'll see whether there's others amongst the groups that would...
Oh, I'm sure there will be, yes.
I know Little Hall again are obviously also keen to get more volunteers as other hubs.
Yeah, thank you very much. Anybody else, any questions or anything they would like to say? No? Okay, so thank you very much for coming this evening. Thank you, Clark, for being here. And
thank
can
you.
We just give a big clap, because loads of you have worked so hard and you deserve a good clap for everything that you do. Thank you very much.